You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
If it's been a magic carpet ride or what, but we have transported you around the world this month, and I want to give here, as it all comes to a conclusion this hour, as we head back all the way back to North America, a quick shout out one more time to all the guests who have made our march around the world possible. It all started on Saturday, March 5th in Germany with Sasha Rossmuller, Reverend Jim Dowson of Scotland, Andrew Fraser, Professor Fraser of Australia, then Tom Sunic in Croatia, Adrian Davis, the British barrister out of England last week. What a show last week. My goodness. Simon Roche was absolutely powerful from South Africa. To have Charles Balsman on live from Moscow with everything going on in the world, to have a guest from Russia, was just really a standout. And then Liv Haida from Germany, who was supposed to be on with us during our Valentine's Day program back in February, but we had a little miscommunication, worked her in last week, and I had intended to have her on for 30 minutes, but her story was so compelling and so engrossing, we extended her for the full hour. And then, of course, already earlier tonight, Jonas Nielsen, the filmmaker from Sweden, and Nick Griffin, the former member of European Parliament, also from Great Britain. We have been around the world, Keith Alexander. Before we get to our last guest, I'd like to give you just 60 seconds to recap. I know you have enjoyed the show tonight, really every show this month, but the show tonight and last week's show, I know you particularly wanted to say a few words about.
Well, let me tell you, I think that Balsman last week and Simon Roach and Liv, whatever the lady's name was from Germany.
Liv Haida,
were excellent. And if anything, I think you've outdone it this week. I mean, Jonas from Sweden was right on the money. So was Nick Griffin, and I'm sure Remy's going to be doing the same thing. What this shows is that there are good people who all over the world who know what's going on, know who's doing it, and they know, have good ideas about how we can straighten our course and get things right. It's really encouraging to talk with these people. Now, Remy is from, he's a French-Canadian, right? So I guess he spans both sides of the Atlantic, the French side and the Canadian side.
Well, that's why he's a double dipper, I guess you could say. It's a twofer with Remy tonight.
It's like Andrew Fraser, who's from originally from Canada and now from Australia. But, you know, I can tell you this. If you've never been to French Canada, you are really missing it. I think the most enjoyable vacation my family ever had was when we went all the way up to the end of the Gaspé Peninsula at Percé and through Quebec and all of this. And, it is a charming area. It is basically unspoiled compared to, you know, a lot of other parts of North America. And the people there are, you know, they are really solid, good people. And it's, you know, I don't think they get near enough attention, near enough, praise for how, you know, that part of Canada is really, I think, in many ways, the last repository of common sense, except, of course, on the west of Canada, they have some of that as well. But, you know, Remy, You know, we're so glad to have you on the show.
Well, let's without further ado, Keith, rather than talking about him, let's talk to him and let's introduce him. Remy Tremblay is representing Canada during this, our March Around the World. He is closing out the entire series. He is our closer, and as Keith alluded to, he's a French-Canadian journalist. He serves as the editor of Le Harfang magazine. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment as well. He also writes for several outlets, both in Europe and America. He's returning to the program tonight for the second time to cover the current state of affairs in both Canada and France. So give us an hour and we'll develop it all. But Remy, with all of that being said, and one last kudos to all of the guests who have appeared during this, our very special series, March Around the World. You're closing it tonight a little bit closer to home than the rest of the guys and ladies this month. But from Canada, how are you tonight, Remy Tremblay?
Well, I'm doing fine, and with such a great introduction, I couldn't ask for anything better than that. And I must say that you talked about Gaspé and French Canada, and I would say that the culture of French Canada is distinct from the rest of Canada, of course, a little bit like the South is. And travelers from the South will find a lot of things they will love about French Canada.
Well, I did.
Well, that, you know, that's interesting that you say that, Remy, because, of course, I know you know Paul Fromm, and Paul Fromm has been a friend of mine for longer than this show has been on the air, so for about 20 years, and both you and Paul appeared last year during our March Around the World, and we would have certainly featured Paul again this year had it not been for the fact that he appeared with us, I think, like 4 weeks in a row in February. So Paul was about to unionize. So we had to give
a utility player.
we had to give him a break. He was going to unionize. But he was on to talk about the trucker strike. And that was such an interesting story right before the war broke out in Eastern Europe, which sort of stole the headlines. But I think having you on to represent Canada tonight is fitting because you can give us that French-Canadian connection. But you're so right. I mean, Canada is such a wide
mess. It's a hot mess in a lot of ways.
Well, it's that, but it's a huge country, and so is the United States. So you have many nations within a nation in Canada. You got to understand, Canada is bigger than all of Europe. All of Europe could fit inside of Canada, and all of Europe could fit inside of the United States. So this is when you mentioned the difference between the French Canadian areas versus the American South and the people of the United States outside of the South, you know, there's certainly some common ground there. So with that being said, Remy, let's go to Canada. This is the question we've asked all of our guests from wherever they may be calling in from this month. How would you assess the racial health of Canadians, whether it be in French Canada, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Ottawa, Vancouver, everywhere?
Well, well, the call in French, the great replacement, is something that cannot be denied anymore. Over the last few years, since Justin Trudeau took power, he has increased immigration, and, well, the numbers have skyrocketed. In Quebec, we assume French Canadians will be a minority in exactly 20 years from now, which is, which tells you what the situation really is in Canada. Things are, the Great White North, not for so long.
Well, I'm going to ask you an ignorant question. For the sake of my audience, not because I don't know the answer, of course, but seriously, break it down for us. What is the difference between a French Canadian and a Canadian at large? My goodness, we spent so much time thanking everybody else.
You can cogitate on that over this break.
We told Remy we would have a little elongated introduction for him this segment, but the rest of the hour is to him and him alone. We're going to find out the difference between a French Canadian and a regular Canadian. We're going to find out how things are going on in Canada, what's happened with the truckers' strike since we last heard from Paul Fromm, so much more, and the French presidential election. Remy's got the inside track on that. You're going to learn a lot more from Remy and about
Hello,
Remy next.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Last night I only let it slip, and so wish that I could stay. Before the thing could answer me, well, someone came and took the lamp away. I looked around, a lousy candle's all I found. Well, you don't know what we can find. Why don't you come with me, little girl, on a magic carpet ride? Well, you don't know what we can see. Why don't you tell your
I'll let you in on a secret to show business, ladies and gentlemen. It didn't take a magic carpet ride. It didn't take magic at all. It just took a calling card with lots and lots and lots of money on it to call all of these international guests. But we are a better program for it. What a fantastic month. And that's not all it took. It took the guests' willingness to stay up so late around the world. They were staying up until the wee hours of the morning, and our production crew. Have you heard the difference in our production this month? I know many of you have emailed me and told me that you could. Well, that's because we have this proprietary system now that folks can will help us connect with our guests and make them sound like they're in studio with us. And we have been really trying that out more and more with our guests this month, and I'm thankful that you've noticed, ladies and gentlemen. Well, anyway, thanking all of our guests this month once more, and specifically the guests tonight, Jonas Nielsen from Sweden and Nick Griffin from Great Britain. Remy Tremblay closing out the special series from Canada. Remy, we're asking the difference. French Canadians and Canadians, tell us.
Well, the difference is great because, you know, like most people will assume French Canadians are Canadians who happen to speak French, which would, well, logically, it sounds like it. But French Canadian is actually an ethnic term, and it refers to the people whose ancestors were French colonists who settled in
racial
New France.
Stock.
Yeah, exactly. So our like French Canadians are French Catholic by culture or religion, and their origin can be traced back to France. While the term Canadian, and maybe Paul Frum will disagree with me, it's pretty much encompassing everyone living in Canada right now. Everyone has a passport. So Canadian is not Ricardo Duchesne. Professor Dr. Ricardo Duchesne was talking about Euro-Canadians instead of just Canadian, because Canadian is like American. It's a term that means pretty much anything, anyone living in Canada. So French Canadians are really a people within Canada.
Well, we know our enemies have been doing their best to make sure there's no distinct racial identity for either Canadians or Americans.
Well, Keith, how would you relate those of us who are Southerners, who identify as Southerners first and Americans second? At least that's the way I do. I don't allow an American flag on my property. How would you correlate what you're hearing from Remy with our situation?
Well, one thing is they're more liberal, the dominant group. And like liberals everywhere, they try to remake you in their own image. And French Canadians, like American Southerners, white Southerners, have resisted that. They have no intention of being homogenized into what is becoming, like Remy said, a Canadian. A Canadian now is just anyone that happens to be born or to move to a particular part, you know, geographic site. And, you know, that's not a nation in the in the way that the Bible uses a term, for example. A nation involves your race and the people that live in a particular area. So I think that the French Canadians and the Southerners both have had to live with people who are more numerous and have a sense of superiority over us, which is totally unfounded. What do you think, Remy?
Well, I totally agree with you. And parallels between the Southern, well, identity or nationalism or whatever we're going to call it, and the French-Canadian nationalism is very, the parallels are very strong, and they're numerous. There are many things that set us apart from the rest of our nation, the rest of our country. We've got a distinct, just like Southerners do, we've got a distinct culture. We have different values as well. And our identity, you know, if I move to Louisiana in a month, I'm not going to become a Southerner. It's something more. It's something more than just a civic geographical term. And the same thing, if you move here, we may appreciate you, but you're never going to become a French Canadian. You're going to become a Canadian. You may learn French, but it's not something you can acquire. It's something that you are. It's part of you.
You're born into it or else you're
absolutely
not in it.
I mean, yes, you can be a naturalized citizen. You can have any sort of citizenship conferred upon you by a document, but you will not have that racial DNA. You will not be that. You cannot be more than who you are. Remy, let me get back with you on something that Paul Fromm was certainly talking about extensively last month when he was basically a co-host of this program, talking about the truckers situation up there. Now, up until the day that the Russia-Ukrainian conflict began, that was the biggest story of the year by far. And I found it so interesting that Justin Trudeau, this little wannabe dictator, could go to the European Parliament, and we just actually had Nick Griffin on in the previous hour, who was a former member of European Parliament, and Justin Trudeau could go there and preach about democracy and standing up against totalitarianism when the West and Trudeau specifically is so much more heavy-handed, or at least every bit as much heavy-handed as what he is supposedly opposed to. It just made one laugh, but the only reason you could laugh is if you were in the know. Anyway, that being said, what, if anything, has happened since Russia and Ukraine has dominated the headlines with the truckers dispute? Has that all dissipated, or is there still some ramifications and some residual positive effects from that in Canada?
Well, the thing is, you did mention Trudeau went to Parliament on Wednesday, and he was called a dictator by some European representative.
I saw that.
He was called as a tyrant, and he was qualified as a tyrant, dictator, and he was pointed out, and people called on him and told him he did not, well, some of them, of course, some representatives told him he did not belong there, and his rhetoric about human rights was, you know, hypocrisy. Now, what happened, I would say that, of course, one of the major effects of the convoys were to repeal the mask and most of the mandates in the Western provinces. After that, after Saskatchewan and Alberta decided to end the mandates, well, other provinces had to follow with them. For example, in Quebec, just before the convoys, the Premier François Legault had called for harsher measures against people who were not vaccinated. And with the convoys, he actually made a 180-degree turn, and he decided to eventually end the vaccine mandate, and soon we're supposed to take off the mask inside. So it has softened things. It's a good thing the convoys were there, and everything paid off. Now, of course, I would say mobilization has faded. The repression in Ottawa was extremely harsh, and people saw their bank account frozen. I mean, this is crazy. You cannot pay for your mortgage. You cannot pay for anything. The bank account is frozen. And up to this day, we don't know we don't know much about what's going on because the government is hiding facts and they're not telling the whole truth. And this, you know, Justin Trudeau is complaining about the fact that people get arrested demonstrating in Moscow. And at the same time, there are still people in jail. Some people are still denied bail only because they demonstrated in Ottawa against mandates. So, of course, mobilization is not as strong as it used to be, especially that most of the restrictions are being removed. But it had a great impact.
Let me ask you a question, if I could, Remy. What do you, as a French-Canadian, think of Trudeau, Justin Trudeau? Do you think... And I'm not going to gild the lily anymore.
I think he already answered it. He already answered it with his scoff.
Well, I don't want to end up in jail, so, and I don't want the bank account to be frozen tonight. So, you know, French Canadians, I think the Trudeau family has managed to be, well, hated. I've never seen any politician as hated as the Trudeau family in Quebec. They're from Quebec, but they're not considered to be French Canadians. They actually they seem to be misogynist or something. They don't like their identity. They don't like where they come from, and they despise the people in Quebec. They seem more closed-minded. You see the fact that the Trudeau family, the Trudeau family is always considered that the Quebec nationalism was a backward. So despise where they come from and their ethnic origin, which is very sad. And well, as most
we understand that that Justin's father may be Fidel, so that may let you off the hook.
We got to take a break. We better take a break right there. And when we come back, Remy Tremblay closing out our march around the world. What a wonderful month of radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Biden has delivered what's billed as a major address on Ukraine from Warsaw.
Let us resolve to put the strength of democracies into action to thwart the designs of autocracy. Let us remember that the test of this moment is the test of all time.
Biden delivered the speech after meeting with Ukrainian refugees in Poland. It comes as Russia is signaling that it is implementing a new strategy in its invasion of Ukraine. Special advisor at the White House National Security Council, Matthew Miller, telling ABC's Good Morning America that the administration is not looking at Russia's words.
We always wait to see what Russia actually does, not just take for granted what it actually says, because from the beginning of this conflict, they have never been honest about their aims.
Miller adds that while the U.S. was warning of a Russian invasion, the Kremlin downplayed things, accusing America of fear-mongering. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world, one life at a time.
Before I started taking Balance of Nature, I was so exhausted. And they found nothing wrong. Everything was good, just no energy. For years, I was so worn out. Well, I want to tell you, Balance of Nature has been so good for me. I'm 84 years old, and I feel like I'm 30. I want to scream with happiness. I feel like I'm 30 years old now. So I want to thank Balance of Nature for everything, because this has been the best thing I've ever done.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
The Biden administration is calling for tougher sanctions against North Korea. Pyongyang test-fired its biggest intercontinental ballistic missile to date. Kim Jong-un said his country is preparing for what it called a long-standing confrontation with the United States. The call for sanctions happened during Friday's meeting of the UN Security Council. The Assembly of First Nations in Canada wants an apology, a public one, from the Vatican. This after last year's discovery of about 200 unmarked and previously undocumented graves of children at what was Canada's largest indigenous residential school in British Columbia. It was one of several similar sites in that country. A meeting between First Nations and Vatican is set for next week. Tyree Sampson, who died on an amusement ride in Florida late Thursday, is being remembered. The 14-year-old fell to his death on the Orlando Freefall at Icon Park. The ride had only been in operation for a few months, passing inspection in December. The Florida Agriculture and Consumer Services Department is investigating the cause. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back, everybody. 30 minutes left in our march around the world. That's two segments, and Remy Tremblay is going to be with us for both of them, as he has been for this entire hour. We're going to talk a little bit more about his publication, the magazine, which he edits. He also writes on issues of nationalism and French Canada. He writes for several outlets, both in Europe and America. But with him being a French Canadian, he has paid close attention to the ongoing presidential election cycle in France. So now this is nothing if not a soap opera and a drama there, Remy, with the upstart nationalist candidate as he is being presented, and of course the Le Pens and Macron and the sibling rivalry within the Le Pens.
Zemmour.
Yes, Eric Zemmour. So where do we start there?
Well, you summed it up. It's quite a story. And the reason I'm following it is the newspaper I work for in France is actually covering the whole the whole campaign. Now, most of the elections since 2000, well, it's been a presidential candidate from the center or center left, a socialist or the center right, opposed to the Le Pen. From the National Front. Now, since Jean-Marie Le Pen actually took his retirement, it is his daughter, Marine Le Pen, who has been headed the National Front and is being called the renamed National Rally. Now, they understood at the National Rally that one of the problem is most people agree with, most people see problems with immigration. Most people see the rise of Islam as a danger. But now the National Rally cannot get their vote because they are, well, vilified. So Marine Le Pen decided to use a strategy, which is to soften her speech, soften her policies, and actually move toward the center. This is what the de-diabolisation of the National Rally is. But now, this strategy works to a certain extent, but many people do not vote for the National Rally for different reasons. And what we have seen is a rising star. Actually, it's not a rising star. He was very famous. It is a French journalist, a polemist. He is on TV, on CNews. He is Jewish, so he has, I would say, more freedom of speech than someone who's not. He cannot be called an anti-Semite. So that being said, he has a radical speech, and his position, his stand, is actually more to the right than the Le Pen family, than the Marine Le Pen, actually. This week, he called for if he's elected, he would have a remigration, a deportation program. He would have a minister in charge of that. So surprisingly or not, he has attracted a lot of support from the activists and also from the population, from that segment of population that would never vote for de Le Pen. So what we see now is all the candidates are pretty much equal in the polls. It is extremely hard. Macron will probably go to the second turn because in France there are two turns. Macron is pretty sure to be at the second turn, but the opponent is less clear who will be his opponent during the final duel.
Well, Remy, let me ask you this. Is Zemmour the real deal, or is he you know, a stalking horse or something that is being used to split the conservative vote. And on the other side of the coin, has Marine Le Pen really changed, or is she just doing this in an effort to con some people into voting for that otherwise wouldn't?
Well, Le Pen, the strategy of moving to the center, Le Pen has never talked, Marine Le Pen, of course, has never talked about for the great replacement. She has called that a conspiracy theory. She has refused to talk about the rise of Islam, and she prefers talking about Islamist, sort of radical Islam. She has tried to not to scare public opinion by adopting the dominant discourse, the dominant way of speaking. But on the other hand, Eric Zemmour, who's not a newcomer to politics, he's been around for, well, as an analyst and as a journalist, he's been around for a few decades now. So I would not say that Zemmour is there to split the vote. I think he really believes in his ideas, and he wants to act upon them. Now, where Zemmour becomes interesting is that he has ties to both parties, the center right and to the Le Pen to the national rally. So he actually managed to get people from the center right and from national rally within his organization, within his new political party. In the end, I don't think he's splitting. We could think he's splitting the vote, but he's actually bringing more people into the aware vote, if I can use that word, into the nationalist voting pool. Because Marine Le Pen is still around 16-20%, and he has brought another 10-15% from the center right, not necessarily from the national rally. So if you add those two numbers, now we have more people voting for them than for Macron.
Let me ask you this. Describe the constituencies of the three people, Macron, Le Pen, and Zemmour. And do you see any way that Macron can lose under these circumstances in this election?
It would be extremely surprising that he loses. But the thing is, it really depends who's at the second turn. And in the last elections, Marine Le Pen had a catastrophic campaign during the second round. During the second round, it was really a catastrophic debate for Marine Le Pen. And many people asked for a resignation afterwards. She decided to continue heading the national rally. But this time, the second turn could actually prove to be surprising. Because we talked about Le Pen and national rally. We talked about Eric Zemmour and his Reconquête, which can be translated by Reconquista. And there's also Valérie Pécresse, who's on the right of Emmanuel Macron. So if you had all of those votes, you get actually more people voting for the right than for Macron. Now, the thing is that the second turn, a lot of people will decide to vote for their wallet and will prefer not risk anything with by voting for a Zemmour or a Le Pen. And this is what really hurt the national rally over the last years, is people decide to go conservative vote, meaning they will re-elect the people who are already there.
Well, who is Macron's natural constituency? The woke people or everyone to the left of the middle, or describe what his allure is to the to the French people, and why do they keep voting for him?
Well, a lot of people will vote for him. Not necessarily the woke. He's not on the woke. He really is more in the center. People are more interested in economics. I would say he's going to target he's always targeting about like Startup Nation, and he's using the language of young liberals, really focused on the economy and really like
people that want to get rich,
yeah, or remain stay rich. People don't want to risk like losing money or anything. It is people who are trendy, I would say, not necessarily the woke. The woke will go for there are woke candidates, just they're insignificant. The left is actually insignificant when it comes to number in France right now. the socialists are very, very weak, and so is everything to the left.
Okay. Now, tell me this. You have a serious racial problem in France now. You have parts of France where it's basically a no-go zone for native Frenchmen. Who is responsible for that? Who let the camel's nose in the tent in France to cause that problem, which is basically the reason why there is a Marine Le Pen and an Eric Zemmour running for the head of the government?
Well, it comes back to, after the war, many people from third world countries came to France to work for the reconstruction of France, I would say.
Somebody wanted to open the door for them, though, right?
Well, it's not the door. Yeah, but it was temporary, actually. From what I understand from French policies, it is when they got the family reunification in the 60s and 70s. This is where there started to be, long settlements from foreign populations.
Let's take a break right there, gentlemen. Let's pause there. We'll come back to the elections in France and a final word from Canada, from the man who's representing Canada during our March Around the World, Remy Tremblay. We'll learn more about his work as well. One more segment in our March Around the World. What a fantastic month it's been. We'll be back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I think the way it worked out with us ending our march around the world and the nation most closest to ours here in the Northern Hemisphere, Canada, right across the border. I gave a speech in Michigan in 2016, and I was astonished at how close Canada was to Detroit. I mean, it's just right there.
Go across the bridge.
That's it.
Ontario.
That's it. I knew where Canada was, but, I mean, you know, come on. That's within
a day. You better be moving fast, too.
Day's drive. Well, I'm astonished by simple things, I guess you could say. Anyway, what a great month it's been of radio. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, don't take this for granted. The professionalism exuded by not just our guests, but by the staff and crew here at TPC. Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. If we're sick, if we don't feel like coming in, if there's a vacation to be had, whatever's going on, we're here on Saturday night. You don't have to worry about that. No matter where we are or what we're doing, you will have a live show on Saturday night.
Other people have a live food stuck in the mud. We're going to be here every Saturday night.
No, you have other people who say, well, I don't feel like it tonight. We're going to take off a week. It's not the way we do things. Of course, we can't do it that way because we're contracted with our network and with our local affiliate stations.
And more than that, we love it. We love it.
Well, we have to produce content, and we do love it. But here's the thing, folks. Over the course of the last 20 years that we've nearly been on the air, a lot of people have come and gone. We deliver the real deal to you, and the guests that we presented to you this month, this is TPC at its very best, what you've heard this month, and so thankful for Remy for rounding it out here tonight. And coming back next week, we will be in the month of April. That's another special series, back-to-back special series here on TPC, March Around the World. Segues into Confederate History Month in April, and so that traditional, we've been doing that for the entire run here on the air. That Southern series will be starting next week, so stay tuned for that. Now, we want to learn a little bit more about Remy's work and his publication, but one more question about the French election, Remy, if we can. Is Zamora being funded by the usual suspects, and would they fund the real deal?
Well, I think it may be the real deal. Now, I do not like support Le Pen or Zamora more than others. You know, like, the two are good candidates, and the two have very good arguments. And I would trust Zamora. The fact that he's talking about the Great Replacement, the fact that he's talking about remigration, he's actually advocating it, politically speaking, that he wins or he doesn't, he has done a tremendous work for our cause.
I remember when he first came on the air, and I want to toss it to Keith, but I remember when he first, when he first became known to me, I knew he was Jewish, of course, but what value is there in the fact that he is planting these seeds into the public consciousness? That's the question I was asking, and I think there is real intrinsic value in that. Keith, very quickly.
Okay, I was going to ask you this. Regarding the French Canadians on one hand and the French of France in another, how likely is it that the Great Replacement is going to succeed and they are going to be replaced in their homelands by racial strangers?
Well, yeah, and the thing is, I think in France they're way more advanced in the process, but they also are more advanced in terms of a response to it. They're talking about it. They're doing something. They have political parties. They have newspapers. They have different outlets. They are acting. They are, you know, raising awareness of it. In Quebec, we're not as far in the process of the Great Replacement. We're not as far as in France, but there seems to be no reaction. Everything is always implicit. People will not advocate the end of immigration. They will talk about a decrease or selected immigration, but it is something that is implicit, Kevin McDonald would say. But there's no reaction like in France.
Well, you mentioned Kevin McDonald. We've been talking so much about this excellent series we've hosted this month, and quite rightly so, but the show that immediately preceded our March Around the World, the last Saturday of February, featured Mark Weber and Kevin McDonald talking about the situation in Eastern Europe with Russia and Ukraine. Folks, all of these programs are available to you in our broadcast archive. So if you missed any of the guests this month, be sure to go back and catch them in the broadcast archives where they are evergreen. Let's now transition, Remy, into the last few minutes of our march around the world. And let's talk about your work. So I first learned about you when you and I collaborated for an interview in your publication, The Snow Owl, if I'm translating it correctly. Tell us a little bit more about that particular publication.
Well, it is a little bit like your march around the world, but every month. We have a magazine. We're the only nationalist outlet in Quebec. We've been publishing for the last 10 years, so we're not as old as the TPC. But one day we will. One day we'll reach 20 years of work. Now, we are, raising awareness about the displacement of our people. We're also giving a voice to people who are censored in media. Because let's face the truth, we don't have a TPC in Canada, and especially not in Quebec. The dominant media is, the mainstream media is extremely censored, and not many things can be said on the air. So that being said, we're giving a voice to the voiceless. We're trying to, bring about ideas by people like Professor Kevin McDonald, whom we interviewed in the past. We have given an outreach for all those people who cannot reach French Canadians otherwise.
Now, give us the proper pronunciation of your publication and how people can learn more about it.
Well, the proper pronunciation in French is Le Harfang, which you correctly translated as a snowy owl, which is a national emblem of French Canadians, of Quebec as well, actually.
I could never, Keith, I pronounced it to the best of my ability earlier this hour. I could never properly pronounce it if I had 100 years to try.
Well, French is not my strong suit, but I will say that Rennie definitely has je ne sais quoi.
Is there a way that people can subscribe to it online or learn more about it online, Remy?
Of course. Actually, I would. Right now, we have no more website. The platforming and everything has been extremely complicated for us in Quebec. So right now, it is by email or on the social media, including Gab, Rubble, and Gitter. Or send an email, leharfang@protonmail.com. So leharfang, it's LEHARFANG @protonmail.com. And I'm going to be very happy, me or somebody else from the staff, to answer your inquiries.
Well, Remy, we actually had the opportunity to collaborate on an article for this fantastic publication about a year ago, or maybe it was a little bit longer than a year ago. Do you remember that one?
Well, I remember. I remember the interview you gave us. We had a special feature about Confederate history, which is the month of May.
That's right. That's right. And we talked about the South, and and I actually still have here in the studio, in my studio office, that particular edition. I'll pull it out for Keith after the show. That was certainly a big highlight of the year for me. And going back, as Remy is closing out our march around the world tonight, Confederate History Month. That starts next week. As Remy is rounding out our march around the world, the man who started it all off for us this month was Sascha Rossmuller of Germany, and he is a German politician, but in addition to that, he also works for the German publication and actually appears on newsstands as well, not just online or not just through subscription. I'm going to butcher this as well, Deutsch Stein, and we had a sit-down with him too, so... Yes, we're getting out there, and we're getting the guests out there as well. And this is the whole point of our march around the world, is to let you know that, hey, folks, listen, there is a contingent of us in every place that our people may call home that are fighting for our blood and for our soil. And Remy, I'm so thankful for you. I am very glad that it worked out against my original inclination. We had, contacted you to appear on the very first show of this month, but there was a conflict. And so It got rescheduled for tonight, and I'm very glad that it did, because I think it is fitting that you close us out tonight. With a minute remaining, the final word, my friend, is yours, and thank you again for being with us tonight.
Well, I want to thank you once more for this opportunity, and I want to say hi to everybody in the South. Our culture is very similar to, like, James. There are people who are fighting, like, everywhere, including here in Quebec.
Well, we can certainly relate to fighters, can we not, Keith Alexander? And what would you say about Remy and everybody else who's appeared this month?
Well, keep fighting the good fight, my friend. Godspeed, and best of all, there is a hope and a future for our people.
And it will be done collectively, and the remnant that exists not just here, not just there, but everywhere and around the world. Thank you all for a great march around the world. For Keith Alexander, our production crew that made it possible, all the great guests, and especially tonight, Jonas Nielsen, Nick Griffin, and right now, Remy Tremblay. The great Remy Tremblay. We'll talk to you again soon, Remy. We'll talk to you all next week when March Around the World segues into Confederate History Month that starts next Saturday. Good night, everybody.